Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studio where you'll hear a conversation about presentation design, strategies, tips, and tricks, running a design studio, and more. Here are your hosts from inside the design studio, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California, where I lead a 9-person design team specializing in executive presentations at live stage events and have been awarded as a Microsoft MVP for PowerPoint since 2004.
Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey. We're a boutique visual communications firm specializing in presentation design, data visualization, and training. And I've been a Microsoft MVP since 2014.
And I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Green Bay, Wisconsin. As a certified woman-owned business enterprise, I work with individuals and companies across the globe to ensure that they PowerPoint responsibly. And I've been a Microsoft PowerPoint MVP since 2008.
So how's everybody doing? Anything fun, exciting, new projects?
Well, I'm working on a large template conversion project. I'm building a new template for a client, and they've got...
That doesn't sound like fun.
you know, I kind of like it because it puts me in control of the presentations that go out there.
We talked about control last time.
Yeah, we did. There's a lot of presentations that aren't created properly, and I get to have my touch on making sure that everything they present is the way it should be.
Let me jump in. We need to make an episode about what a template can provide, even if you don't want a template look. I just had this conversation with, we had a conversation with somebody about they don't want a template, but what they really want is just a unique look throughout the thing. They don't want to have the same bullet point list. We should have a talk about that sometime.
Definitely. That's a whole episode.
So Nolan, what are you up to? What's fun?
I've got a London-based client that's trying to sell themselves. So we're working on their initial investor deck. It's the kind of deck that should be 10 slides, and right now it's 40. So lots of jargon and business speak and things people don't care about. So we're working on getting that down to a concentrated story.
Sounds exciting. More along your lines. Tell your story.
That's it.
For us, let's see here. Lots of executive presentations for a large corporate meeting. We have the template, and we received almost all the general session executive presentations, and we're in the process of making them all look consistent. Across the meeting, we're doing a lot of content management. So I guess it's kind of like Sandy. It's not visually exciting, but I'm excited to see things come together and be like a whole package. The meeting will look great. All the presentations will look the same. They'll all have the same messaging. They'll all have the same flow. So to me, that's really exciting. So for today, we wanted to talk about when someone should be hiring one of us, a presentation design professional, and not necessarily us being the presentation design professional. When do you, as a client, look to that presentation design professional? As we kind of talked about on the last episode, it's a good thing to do, especially at key presentation needs. I think it should start with some questions. What is the goal of the presentation? How much is at stake? How much time do you have to invest in the presentation slides versus the presentation content? Do you want to be the one designing all the slides and spending the time, or do you want to be the one crafting the presentation content and handing that off to make it look visually dynamic and, you know, in alignment with your corporate style guides or the event style guides? And then it frees you up to work on other business needs as well. Big decision. At what point is there value in bringing in a presentation design professional versus not? And our big question is, what do presentation professionals need from you, the client, to best help put together your best presentation? So let's start with, when does a presentation warrant professional assistance?
I'm going to speak up first. I think corporations should always have a professional build their PowerPoint templates. And when I say professional, I don't mean an advertising or branding agency, and I don't want to badmouth them, but certainly a majority of them don't know how to build a functioning template. And what I mean by that is, I'll get templates from clients that say their agency, yes, we have a template, you can work from that. And it's literally images slapped on top of a slide. And oftentimes, my corporate clients know more about PowerPoint template creation than an agency will.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to pay an ad agency to create your template, you're first of all probably staring at $250 an hour and getting billed for all sorts of art directors and project managers and VPs. And they don't always understand PowerPoint. Let's just put it on the table. They can have a team of amazing graphic designers who can do amazing, you know, ad work and design work. But they literally, once they have to work in PowerPoint, all that knowledge goes out the window, or they just think it's beneath them and it's just formatting. It's not really a design tool. So they, and we've all seen it, they just don't give the right attention. And they also just don't technically understand how it works.
You know, you said go out the window. You're right. It's like they forget everything they've ever learned about design, working on a grid, for example.
Yeah. Exactly. And they say, oh, well, I can't use colors. I can't use certain fonts. I can't do stuff because it's PowerPoint. And the response to that is, of course you can. You just don't know how to.
I so agree. Now, I should say that I've actually, over the course of time, TLC Creative Services has been positioned as an outsource resource. A lot of our clients are those agencies, internal MarCom departments. They don't want to deal in that part of the design, so hand it off to somebody that does. So it's actually been a good thing for us, and those results are big. But we've experienced the wrong end of it as well. And the whole design thing, it's amazing to me. PowerPoint is a canvas. Keynote is a canvas. And I think Keynote does a little better by it's never implemented rules and structure in the same way PowerPoint did. So PowerPoint's kind of like that.
But it's also, I mean, it's what their focus is and what they do. And I personally think there's a great deal of money to be made off of presentation and PowerPoint. But if, you know, you're an ad agency and it's just not what you want to do, fine. Subcontract to Detroit, subcontract to us. But don't sort of put it out there. It's like, it's just PowerPoint. We can do it. So you really, if you're picking an agency, you really need to go with somebody that has that core competency in whatever you're doing. Because any agency will say, oh, yeah, you need web? Yeah, we can do that. App design? Yeah, we can do that. PowerPoint? Yeah, we can do that. You really want to know that it's a core function of that company.
That's a great phrase, core function, because obviously full-featured design studio, I have designers that specialize in video design, print design. You know, we do everything, but our core focus is presentation design, presentation messaging. So the obvious answer for me on that question is, the national sales meeting presentations that I'm working on right now, they absolutely warrant professional assistance. We're reviewing not only to assure that things visually look consistent across the board, because they don't, coming from the internal departments or presenters themselves. We're also reviewing all the content to confirm no one has content that overlaps or contradicts other presentations. And then there's the whole technical side of needing a 70-foot wide by 16-foot tall presentation that seamlessly integrates everything together for a staged visual presence. And that's not something I would recommend handing off to executives or even an in-house MarCom department to do, just because there's a lot of specialty information needs there to make it come off at the event. So a lot of different characteristics in this particular project kind of warrant outside professional assistance, and it was brought in.
Have I ever told you my funnel theory of presentation?
I could make one up right now, a funnel.
So, I mean, if you look at what companies spend their money on, you know, millions or billions of dollars on R&D and product development and research and what advertising, whatever it is that companies spend their money on, more often than not, all of that stuff needs to get funneled through a presentation at some point and communicated to a stakeholder. So at some point, they have to go in front of the board and get funding. At some point, they gotta, you know, do a sales presentation to actually sell this product. At some point, they have to go in front of the FDA to get approval. And it's usually that small little bit of the funnel where they stop spending money, where they say, oh, well, we'll just have our admin do the PowerPoint, or, oh, Jim, you know, he knows how to, you know, use SmartArt. You know, we'll just give it to him.
Isn't that crazy? It's absolutely crazy.
Because a lot of the stuff we work on, there is millions and millions of dollars behind it and at stake, right? So, and, you know, again, so at that time to try to save a little money or, you know, we'll do it on our own, it just strikes me as incredibly insane.
Well, and here's the irony. You were talking about logo design and brand identity. How often have you received a standards manual and the presentation component is two lines, it's two images, and this is what our presentation should look like. It's crazy that the ground troops, the people who are interacting daily to sell the product, the service, are given an afterthought as a tool.
Right. So in that branding guide, there's pages and pages of how, you know, signage should look. Yes. and conference, you know, booths and everything. And how often are you doing a conference booth? Once a year? Oh, but presentation, which you do every single day of the year, everybody is given, you know, half a page of.
We take all that information that wasn't thought through because it's not a core function of the agency, and we interpret all that style guide. I mean, I've designed style guides, lots of them, and we take that information and we translate that into the world of presentations. Oftentimes are like the larger corporate rollout templates, but we have a whole ton of sample slides. It's basically their style guide in the template. So that way, in the PowerPoint, you open it up. Here's your rules for using this because we understand your style guide.
Hey, I've got a loaded question for you guys. How do you define presentation professional?
It's a tough one. It's a large range. There's someone like me who consults and designs presentations for the majority of their job. So I would just say a presentation professional works with presentations in some capacity for the majority of what they do for a living. So I design slides, I consult on content. Troy's team includes people who are behind the scenes. They're presentation professionals in a different sense of the word. So it's broad. Nolan, how about you?
Well, I think you're right, but I think there's definitely a difference between a presentation designer and somebody who knows how to use PowerPoint. Technically, they both might be presentation professionals, but just knowing how to use the programs, like just knowing how to use Microsoft Word does not make you a great novelist. Just knowing how to use Excel doesn't make you a good accountant. And I think, you know, people think, oh, if only I knew how to really use PowerPoint, I'd be able to put together great presentations. Well, not really. And that's where having a design background comes in. You know, when I've hired presentation designers in the past, I've basically had the best success hiring graphic designers who are trained print graphic designers who I can then teach how to work in presentation. And I say this not having a graphic design degree myself, but I've just found people that just know how to use the program. It's far harder to teach design and good communication and visual communication skills than it is to just teach them the software.
I agree.
I totally agree. Majority of our design team, they all come in not understanding that PowerPoint is a design canvas. They all look at it as a bullet list, and it's really funny to watch the transformation. So absolutely agree with everything there.
And we can talk about this later as well, but it's really difficult to get trained graphic designers to do presentations sometimes.
Absolutely.
It's not taught in the design schools. It's not even respected. It's looked down upon. I've had design professors say, you know, when I ask them, oh, do you teach any presentation in your, you know, 4-year curriculum? And they say, oh, they've literally said, oh, well, you know, if the kids want to do that, they can learn that in a day.
Yeah.
So it's an uphill battle a lot of times, which is why when you
clearly do not understand the impact that they are having on the future business. Yeah.
Well, our business is the future, and I'm pretty happy about it because it keeps it not from being diluted.
Very little competition.
Exactly. Very
You know, that's why we pivoted. We went from a huge print design firm to presentation graphics a long time ago now. I mean, we did Harvard graphics and other fun things that don't exist anymore well before it was, you know, popular because that was a design canvas and there was a niche that was there. And, you know, we took it over because it was easier to compete there.
I have a question for you guys. Who is the best presentation professional?
Me or Troy?
And by that, yeah, exactly. Well, really, I mean, the independent designer.
Ladies first, Sandy.
Okay, well, we've been bad-mouthing agencies. Nolan positions himself as a boutique studio. They're independent designers. I guess I might be in that realm a little bit. So I'll answer my own question. Who is the best presentation professional? Again, it's everyone on this podcast, in this room, however, this virtual room. With our experience and client base and the access we have to the best in the industry, for whatever presentation needs exist, we can curate the best team for every project. And Nolan, you were talking about the different tools that would be used. When you understand your clients and when you have a relationship with your client, you may not recommend that it become a PowerPoint presentation. You may want to reach out to a Prezi professional, or you may want to, you know.
And that's honestly a place where a larger company can help out, because they might be able to have more of those tools at their disposal. Whereas if you go to one single person, I mean, it's the same thing in web, you know, web design. Like if you go to a individual web designer, they might not have, you know, web is such a huge thing. They might not have all the tools at their disposal, or they may not be an expert in all those tools. Yeah, sure. There's some independent designers, web and presentation, who are just amazing and know everything. But if you go to a you know, a small company, small agency, small boutique agency, or big house, they might have more of those tools for you.
Well, you're saying small as in their core, what was the term we used? Their
core
their
function.
Core function is presentation. It's not a sideline. It's not a checkbox. Yep, we do that. We'll figure it out. I believe experience that Sandy directly said, Nolan, you kind of alluded to, I think experience is the bigger thing. The bigger range of experiences that can be brought to a project, the better the presentation design professional. And it can be any of the above stuff. But in general, an independent designer or boutique studio, they're going to have a wider range of experience just because they have, well, I'm going to say this, they have a wider range of experiences, assuming they have a number of clients that have different requests, because every company has different needs. Every special event has different needs. All those range out to be experiences about not only presentation style, which is, I think, a really big thing, but also the application. So you get experience with PowerPoint, Keynote, Prezi, video. Has anybody done PDF presentations where they, you know, people want the PDF and you're just going to run full screen, just like a slideshow? And sometimes that's for protecting content. But there's just so much there. It's being skilled at knowing how to develop those visual layouts, how to work with motion graphics, in other words, animation, and how to have elegant storylines, and how to do that in each application. So that experience is a really big defining element for what's professional. I think if someone's developing just one presentation style, maybe all they do is financial data-driven slides. First of all, they could probably run circles around me, because there's some amazing stuff that happens behind the scenes with linked Excel files and data being displayed on slides. It's great, but they are limited in the visual design options that they can bring into presentation design. So suddenly, if the in-house expert that can do these amazing financial data-driven slides is saying, hey, the CEO is going to give a keynote, he has 6 minutes and he needs a lot of big visuals, that's not the experience that person has. So the independent, the boutique, the small design studio like mine, where we just work on a huge range, makes a big difference.
So who's out there? I mean, who exists other than the three of us on right now? Who are the main presentation firms, the agencies, the individuals, or what's the landscape look like?
You know, off the top of my mind, it's, if I had to list it, it'd all be people and companies that I personally know, like both of you. So, you know, I'll just pass on this one, and so I don't get in trouble.
Sandy?
Okay. Well, I'm in the same boat as Troy. When I need help, I reach out to my MVP community, my MVP network. And then if I need somebody locally, I'll do that. But when you think of big presentation firms, Duarte's at the top of mind, clearly.
Yeah. So
of course, Duarte's
the biggest in the world, yep. as far as I know. They have well over 100 employees, I think, in a couple of offices out in the Bay Area. And again, presentation is still there. And Nancy will say this too. She decided long ago she was going to focus on presentation. They could have gone to print and web, and they might still do a little bit of that, but that is their core. So Duarte is obviously the biggest. A presentation studio in Australia is big there. There's a firm in Brazil called Soap that does great work. Eiffel Presentations in the UK. And these are all, you know, these are all people I know. I actually have know a lot of the players, and I'm friendly with some of them. New York, there's a couple of big ones, ProPoint Graphics, eSlide. There are a bunch of them, but I think a lot of them fly very under the radar for a number of reasons. Some, like Duarte, have very big presences. They've written books and they have big social media presence, and Nancy's a big personality and talks a lot, speaks. Then you have, you know, you might have something like, let's say, ProPoint Graphics in New York that probably has 20, 30 people on staff, you know, churning out presentations, but you may never heard of them because they don't write books and their clients are, you know, little law firms or, you know, smaller companies and some big ones too. You've also got what I call the factories, I think. There's some companies that, you know, have very low price points that charge by the slide that I don't, you know, it's a business model I've never been interested in, but they sort of like churn out things, maybe are a little more formulaic than you have in overseas. Just like everything's being outsourced in the rest of the world, people outsource their presentation needs. You know, a company like Goldman Sachs will outsource a lot of their presentation needs where they can get things done overnight. And it ends up being a lot of formatting, ends up not being a lot of actual design work. And that's fine for what their needs are. But if
question. Yeah. So when we're talking about size, you know, large versus small, define what small means.
It's hard because everything's relative. So if Duarte is the biggest with, I don't know, 100, 125, maybe 150 now, I guess medium would be 20 to 30, small would be just a couple people.
We couldn't come up with a list like Nolan just did for presentation firms in website design or advertising agencies for that matter.
Or they could be, I was going to say number of projects, but that falls right in there. You know, maybe they're just small is based on number of projects they can take in, and they work in a specialty industry. They have a clientele base and you're just not going to hear about them because you don't deal with.
They're just tons of individuals that have their own clients and, you know, they can only work so many hours because it's just one person. And you may never hear about them, but they may be incredible. They have a few clients and, you know, they're just totally under the radar.
Yep.
You're right. At the end of the day, this is a niche industry. Despite the fact that everybody has PowerPoint on their desktop and everybody, you know, what is it, like millions of slides are created every day. Despite that, presentation design is still a niche industry. When should you not hire a presentation designer or a firm?
When we have too many projects in-house, when there's just not enough room on the calendar to confidently say yes to providing a solution.
No, but my question was like, if you're a company, like every time you need to give a presentation, should you hire somebody? No. Like if you're giving an internal HR presentation about benefits, is that the time to hire somebody? Probably not. But if the stakes are high, then, you know, if you have if there's money on the table to be won or lost.
You know, I would argue against that. You just happen to pick HR.
I'm just thinking,
you know, when I work with on brand evangelism, we work with individuals in a corporation to not only be good presenters, but to take that presentation skill into their everyday delivery of how passionate they are about their product. And we take their in this particular case, they may have a presentation that we design externally as if they were pitching it externally. But when they're updating internally, that presentation is as well-crafted and delivered as it would be to an external audience because that company wants to elevate their overall brand. So I agree with you, Nolan, that it not 100% of the time, but pick and choose what you want to accomplish with that presentation.
Absolutely. Right. And you know, I do training for companies. I always say, like, you know, I'm training you so you don't have to hire me. You know, still they come back and they'll hire me for the big, you know, staff presentation or the big sales presentation, but your daily work through template design that you can design for them, Sandy, through training, through best practices, they, you know, you should be able on a daily basis to be able to put together a decent slide yourself.
Here's an analogy, just popped in my head. So has anybody done one like a resume presentation? you know, where somebody's want to tell, you know, basically they got to present about themselves to get a job.
I've seen them.
So,
right?
I've seen them. I've never put one together. They were they were quite popular a few years ago, weren't they?
Oh, I still do quite a few. So I can think of two fairly recent ones that come to mind. I won't say names or companies, but one was grad student contacted us, wanted to make a big splash to kind of be impressive at their interview, which I think is a great idea. So grad student wanted this whole thing, basically got down to, okay, here's what it's going to, I'll even give you a break on the rates, but here's what you're looking at to accomplish that. That project went away. I'm sure it went to somebody else that could work at a different price point, and it was good, but it was a request. Another person calls up, says, I need to put together a presentation, this and that. And this is somebody going up for a senior VP position within a very large technology company, and they're basically looking to become the director of a whole program, and they had to show a lot of details about their background and sell the concept. Obviously had a budget. It was personal budget. It was not company money. They did it on their own personal time. Two different scenarios. Both could have used a presentation professional, but the value of each one may have dictated which one paid for it and which one didn't. Every presentation should be professionally designed, but is the value proposition for it warranted?
What do you guys think about the PowerPoint specialist title?
What do you think?
What do you think about it, right. Nolan?
Oh, okay. Was I doing that intentionally? Yeah. So again, back to this whole, you know, there are people who know how to use PowerPoint, then there are presentation designers. My biggest pet peeve in the world is that term PowerPoint specialist. When I see that as a job description, I get called a lot by staffing agencies who are looking looking for recommendations, referrals. Like, hey, Nolan, do you know anybody who's looking for a full-time job? And I'll say, what's the title? And I'll say, PowerPoint specialist. And I say, I might know one or two people, but until you change the title of that job, I'm not giving you their name. Sometimes we get into an argument. Well, that's what it is. And I said, but you're asking me a designer to make amazing visual communications, and then you're going to turn around and insult them and give them this title. If you're looking to hire a designer, that is the title of the job, designer. And I said, so you're working against yourself, because any designer wants to be treated that way. They're not going to apply for a job that's specialist. It's again, like a writer. Are you a Microsoft Word specialist, or are you a writer? Those are two different things. So that's my big thing.
So what's the title that you recommend?
Presentation designer.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Don't like the word specialist.
PowerPoint specialist specifically.
Absolutely. Do you hire a web specialist or an Adobe Photoshop specialist? No, you hire a retoucher. You hire a designer, a graphic designer. And I just think it elevates, and I think that's one of the reasons why graphic designers coming out of school, they look at job opportunities and it's like web designer, product designer, print designer, web designer, PowerPoint specialist. They just spent 4 years getting a quote design degree. They don't want to become a specialist.
That is an awesome point to put. I haven't thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right. That's fantastic. So PowerPoint specialist is out. Okay, so I've got a scenario. You are the executive. You're the client now. We're the client. And you're preparing for your national sales meeting, your big, huge talk, or you're the featured presenter or speaker at an industry event. You've already planned for a presentation professional because you want to assure the presentation is developed to meet the technical needs. It visually makes you look professional. It makes you look impressive. It leaves an impression. And, you want something that truly supports your talk. What information do you or do we as designers need to set up that project? Does that make sense?
Yeah, basically, how do you work with a designer? What are you? And we all have questions. I mean, I don't know if I have a written down list of, you know, these are the questions I always ask. But I always ask, who the audience is, what's the, you know, presentation format? How are you guys? Is it projected? Do you need to print it? Obviously timing and what are you trying to accomplish? And style guide. Do we have to look like your brand? All that kind of thing. So I'm just like the beginning of any graphic design project, people get frustrated with graphic designers a lot, good ones, because they ask so many questions. But it's those questions that are going to solve the problems through experience and everything right up front. And we're going to be able to offer. And very often we've all had initial conversations where they say, I want PowerPoint or I want video. And by the end of the conversation, it's something else because you've learned what they really need and you recommend something else. I said I don't have a list, but I actually have I send clients a lot. I have this 10 tips for working with a presentation designer that I guess we'll put up on the website and in show notes. But it involves, sometimes we do a creative brief and just getting them to start answering some questions on their own. And as they put content together, that helps me down the road.
So that whole client education thing we were talking about before
starts from the very beginning.
Well, after you get a working ongoing, you get that shorthand, and the shorthand is just today, or actually during this recording, I just got an email from one of our longstanding clients. We're developing another executive presentation. Here's the script. It's going to be on this template. It's going to be this aspect ratio. Here's the timeline for it. I mean, almost all the questions that we would ask are already given to us with the project. Here's a new project and here's all the information you need. Give me a turnaround time frame and a budget.
That's cool.
So you just don't get that with new mm-hmm. clients. That's a long-term client education
Everything
thing going on
the
there.
The two of you have said, depending on where I am in the relationship with the client, are questions that I ask. You're right. Someone will come to me with that much detail. That's really great. There are times, where I have this presentation sketchbook that I give out to my clients just as
it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
We have it. It is awesome.
Nolan, do you have one?
I don't. I would like
with
one.
With the little sticky note slides,
yep,
that one?
Yep, the sticky notes. It's got a storyboard. It has storyboard pages. It has tear out big, here's how I explain it to clients who want to think about their presentation before they come to me. I give them the sketchbook and I give them three steps to take. Step zero, however, is don't even bother opening PowerPoint or a tool. What I ask them to do is to write their script. And that can range anywhere from handwriting, if people do that anymore, which I think is wonderful if they do, to typing it up in a Word document or even presentation notes, I guess you could go there, but not PowerPoint slides. Then after by script, I'm not saying every single word you plan on saying, but giving yourself the affirmation that you really understand what you want to say. And then from there, breaking it down, writing out headlines on, if you don't have my sketchbook, on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, write down a headline, paste it on the wall, write down the next headline, paste it on a wall. Then after you've got that story flow down, now start sketching out the graphics that you might want on there. And the reason we sketch at this point is because if you start in PowerPoint, you're going to limit what you put on that slide or what you think you want on that slide by what you think you know about PowerPoint. So if you're sketching, the sky's the limit. So I encourage clients to go through that. Step one, write the script. Step two, come up with headlines. And step three, sketch out their graphics. Now, if they're one of those people who have spent 15 minutes with PowerPoint and think from there that they can create their own presentation in PowerPoint, they can do that. If
no, wait, wait, wait. They can do that, but is it professional?
Yes. No. And then good point. That's a very, very good point. What I always say next is you have to step back and ask yourself, is this something I should be doing or should I be turning it over at this point to make it really come to life and bring it to life to make sure that the content is correct, to brainstorm on additional image ideas, that sort of thing. But it really helps people take ownership of the story and they know that. And they can deliver it better when they understand their story.
It's a really cool thing. The one thing that we didn't, so I ask about the timeline and the technical specs and do they have content that we're formatting or do they just have information that we're shaping into the talk? But a big one is who are the stakeholders in the presentation? Who are the stakeholders that can know the content and say, yes, that's it? Who are the stakeholders that can say, that's the visual styling that we're going to go with? So by that, I mean, who can approve stuff? You know, who has the authority to actually say that is the right design direction? So that's a big upfront for me. You know, if we don't know the working environment, it's kind of funny, Nolan, you're talking HR. I do a lot of HR departments actually have a lot of communication, and some of the bigger corporations, we work through a communication firm that does all the HR messaging, and we do all the presentation work. But it was kind of funny. We just went and did a slide deck that was based on other work we've done. So the visual styling and everything came back with, this is not what I want at all. I'm just going to use my original slides. I'm like, well, this is really unusual. It's the same. Well, it's a different person, a whole different, I don't say division, but you know, it's a whole different set of within the same company. And they just have very different design visual needs. And where this was being used wasn't the same thing. It was actually going online. It was a self-help type of information piece. I thought it was being presented. So therefore they needed all the details because there was no one to fill in the gap. So, you know, who's the authority? Who do we talk to? Because all the information I got on that particular project, completely off base, and nobody knew it until we got the feedback, which wasn't a good afternoon.
You know, that's too bad.
Oh, we turned it around. I invested, you know, not billable because we missed the mark. I figured we turned it all around, made it all around. We got a thank you afterwards, but it was, you know, it's a learning curve. So I always like to know those stakeholders. That's another upfront. Tell me that or I'll ask that.
Also, in terms of where the content is, a phrase I'll use a lot is, I want to know when 95% of the content will be done for me to start working on it. Because presentation's a moving target and people think, you know, people said, oh, well, I'll send you all the content. And what they send is just an outline that says, oh, and here's where we'll talk about next year's strategy. And they'll say, hey, can you get started? And that I say, I literally have nothing to do. So,
oh, that's a green note box, 2017 strategy, done.
Yeah, exactly. Can you build that out? Yeah. We'll fill it in later. Well, no. So I like to start with 95% of content. But knowing that, I said, you know, later on things can change, they'll come out, but I need to know basically what we're dealing with first.
Well, dealing with things, what about expected costs? I mean, the client's going to want to know that. You want to get an agreement. And I don't mean we have to get in a discussion of hourly versus project versus value-based billing models, something we should definitely talk about in the future because I think it's a big topic. But for me, it's primarily, you know, how do you convey to a client what their costs are going to be?
Well, I think presentation, unlike a lot of other design, tends to be a moving target. That I can have an initial conversation with a client and they'll say, yeah, we need a 20-slide deck and, you know, we're writing the content this week. By the end, it's 40 slides or it's 10 slides or it's three presentations. So while I do project work, it's rare because I don't like to rewrite scopes of work constantly. So I'll give people estimates on hours. I'm like, okay, you think it's, you know, my hourly rate, you know, it's going to be, you know, my rush rate. It's going to be, we think 20 slides. Okay, here's what I think it's going to be. And then as we start going into it, maybe it ends up being less, maybe it ends up being more. We give them a running, but I don't want that stress on their part of like, oh, you know, the SOW said, you know, no more than 20 slides and now it's 22 and, or now it's 18. Does that mean it's cheaper? I don't like to get into that.
That's how I work too. In the beginning, I provide an estimate based on my hourly rate. I'm pretty darn good at sticking to it. I sometimes will bill actual in the sense that if I horribly overestimate it, it's hard for me in good conscience to bill the full. But we talk about, you know, value based as well, and so I have to take that into consideration. But I rarely estimate or bill on a project basis.
So I fall in between.
Okay.
So design projects are much more of a moving target, but the whole show site thing, when we're route running, even if we're designing, those are flat day rates. I mean, we have a flat rate, whether a designer is busy for 3 hours or up to the maximum of that day. And I'm not going to go into details, but those are, I guess, what you say, a project based, because the client knows exactly what they're paying for and they're getting everything. It's a hard one because I know that my design team designs, one, they're good designers, So they can have a vision for what to do. They don't have to kind of poke around and see what evolves. And two, they work in the programs, whether it be Keynote or PowerPoint, much faster. And, you know, we run on our Windows machines, we run a dozen add-ins, you know, to make productivity faster. All the add-ins are to make things, you know, alignment tools, importing tools, batching tools. You know, that's a lot of things that just aren't at the hands of everybody that's going to work in the program. So I do an estimate. A project is based on, it's an equation. It includes an initial design phase, because I know there's going to be a lot of banter back and forth. It includes time for feedback and revision cycles. And then it's time for the actual design work, plus project admin and stuff. And it's a communication. We got to communicate, hey, yes, the design is going to be 10 hours. But to get to that 10 hours, we're going to need another 5 hours of time to get through the initial information, the feedback. You're going to need to give us revisions. You know, we're going to have some admin time. And if I don't use it all, I won't bill it all to you. But this is a realistic number. So a lot of communication.
Do you ever get clients asking, how much is it per slide?
No, not really.
Really?
Oh, I did years ago.
And your answer was?
I don't estimate it that way.
I say... or they say, how much time does each slide take? And I said, well, it could take 2 minutes or 3 days.
2 hours. Yeah, 3 days.
Anywhere in between. And that's where some of these other agencies, and I don't, or agencies, but presentation firms, I don't want to, you know, criticize them, but that's their model. Very often there are some firms that will do a per slide thing. And they'll have like levels too. Like it might be a level A slide costs this much and a level B slide, and they'll have examples, you know, showing like what an A, B, and C slide is. And for some people, I mean, certainly if you're just like finding them on the web, it helps people get a general estimate of presentation. Cause we've all done like amazing presentations for very little money and just really long things that ended up not being great that ended up costing lots of money, because at the end of the day, it comes down to time, right?
I think when you see that type of billing model, it's your first indication that it's driven by a software algorithm, you know, for the billing, than it is by the creative direction. You know, we do a lot of white label work. We work for agencies. We work for Marcom departments. You know, we're not TLC Creative Services to the client. We're the design arm of whatever it is. I've had companies that have come to us and said, okay, here's how we pay. And those are the ones, it's a red flag to me. I'm like, okay, you don't understand or appreciate the creative direction. And I know you need a formula to give your clients, but I don't think that is the best for us. So.
Well, speaking of formulas, you know, when someone calls me and they want to get it, first of all, I had a call the other day, someone saying, I didn't even know people like you existed, people who focus on presentation design.
Well, really let's great. Just put it in perspective. There is no one else like Sandra Johnson.
Well, thank you very much. Well, anyways, to help them get their arms around, and this is an education process again, to help them get their arms around what it could possibly cost, I'll speak in ballpark terms and I'll say, okay, imagine that it takes 4 slides per hour. One slide might take, like Nolan said previously, 2 minutes. The next slide might take 2 hours, but let's say there's that average. At a rate of a blank, is this something you can, you know, that you're comfortable with? And then I'll further educate saying, you know, we'll take a look at if you're adding voiceover, if you're adding music, if you're adding animation, all those things. That 4 slide per hour thing goes out the door, but it helps them understand possibly what they're in for.
Yeah, there's not a blueprint for working with there's not a blueprint to presentation design, because it's so many different things. So how about, I mean, the whole timeline thing, how long is this presentation going to take? It's 10 slides. Well, all those factors you just talk about. We just did this one where we received an Excel file of all of the locations for this national company. And they wanted pin dots based on about 5 different filtering. So your animation's built it on. I mean, in reality, it was 1 slide with animation. The output of that, or the design time on it, was close to 20 hours. because there is so much research, so much fine tuning, so much grouping of little pin dots. It's a really cool effect, and it's rolled out on the National Sales Force's iPads, and you know, they don't appreciate how much effort went into it. They just know they got this awesome tool. And now it's real easy. They update it with, we get these updates. Hey, the zip code 9993 has four locations. Can you add one? Well, we got to go look up where that zip code is and drop it in there. It takes little time compared to the one that had like 900 of these dots. So, Wow. So timeline is hard. Timeline's a really big factor.
I got to tell you an ethical situation I found myself in. It was years ago, and I ended up not even doing the job. So I never had to make the decision, but I got a call from an art history professor. And he was an older guy. And at the time he was still showing like all his photos, like thousands and thousands of, you know, art photos, still showing them on either transparencies or with a projector. And he said, look, I got to get all this in PowerPoint, but this is thousands and thousands of images. Let's say it was like 3,000. And he's like, and I want them all full screen. So we're talking 3,000 PowerPoint slides. How long? I mean, that's a huge job. How long would that take you?
And no, laughing Troy, hysterically.
You're already smiling because it's right. So I'm in the situation. And the reason we're laughing is because you can automate that to basically do it and go get a cup of coffee and come back in a couple minutes and it's done from a folder of images. And so, you know, the moral quandary was, do I charge him for 3,000 slides or 5 minutes? And I ended up not having to make that decision.
I thought he had hard print photo. I'm going, that would have been different.
Oh, no. Well, that would have been a different thing. No, he actually had digital. I think he said, like, I had them all digitized.
Oh,
I have
okay.
a folder
of
3,000
totally
JPEGs
thing as well.
But there you go. Right. If you have 3,000 JPEGs, you can make a presentation out of that with like one click. Right.
That's part of what I was saying earlier is, you know, the design time, are you billing on an hourly rate based on your design time? I mean, like when an auto mechanic works on something, they have a book that says this job takes this long. That's the billable. Okay, Jimmy's a new mechanic. He's going to take twice as long, but we can't charge you twice as long. Where, you know, senior John can get it done in 1/3 the time, but we're still going to bill you the extra time. I mean, they have the auto industry on as far as repairs go is pretty not automated. It's pretty set up. I mean, people know you can get an estimate, and it's there's you know, it's a factor of the overhead. It's pretty cool. Presentation design, there's nothing for that, and so. Yeah, do I bill based on my designers being able to use, you know, automation add-ins, or do I bill based on somebody that would have to go through and manually do it? It's usually somewhere in between. Okay, so it's all about timing, as we were just talking about, and now it's time for a wrap-up. See that? A segue.
When do you hire a professional? When you can't afford not to? You know, that funnel. When that little bit of the funnel at the end is so important that's the time you can't really screw things up.
Is your time more valuable making the slides look professional or more valuable getting the rest of the sales pitch done? You know, all the other logistics and communication. Presentation professional is highly, highly valuable, and it really depends on the presentation needs. Sometimes it's technical, sometimes it's timing, sometimes it's the value, sometimes it's the consistency and the professionalism. There's just a ton to it. Okay, my pro tip for presentation design, and this is something that's been around for a long time in PowerPoint. It's not well known, and it's one of the frustrations is, say you have it, you know, you're going to do a talk and you want to have like a looping slideshow, just pictures of whatever it is, or quotes, inspirational quotes. And to make a looping presentation is really easy, but how do you have something loop and then seamlessly go to your presentation? The answer is you really can't, because you can't loop a section. By the way, I wish sections could be looped. That would solve this whole issue. But my solution, total pro tip here, because you have to kind of know how it works. You couldn't hand this off to somebody. We do, actually. We hand it off with an instructions off to the side. You can build your looping presentation, and then you can embed that presentation onto the first slide. So you take your slide deck, you embed it, and then when you open the show, you click on it, it runs the looping slideshow. You hit escape, which is a little tricky because if you hit escape twice, you've escaped out of the loop, and then you've escaped out of the real show and you show the whole audience your desktop. But you can actually embed a looping presentation. So it's a whole series of slides. You can also do it. There's a lot of uses for that technology or that kind of theory, but that's how we do a lot of walk-in loops, just to make a nice opening look, but you don't have to have multiple computers. You don't have to have a way to switch or freeze the projection. You can just seamlessly go right into your presentation anytime you want.
Well, clearly I love that idea. My pro tip, however, is working on a grid. I mentioned that earlier as we were talking, and maybe or maybe not, people know about the ability for PowerPoint to add guides and to build out your own grid. To do that, I don't know, it's kind of hard visually, but if you go to the View tab, you can choose Guides. And once you choose Guides, your default guides will come up and they're centered horizontally and vertically. For beginners, think of it this way. When we were in first grade, we were taught to not write in the margins. PowerPoint slides, you can look so much better if you stick within the margins. So I would suggest that at the bare minimum, you set up margins and you work within those. For those who are more experienced designers, setting up your grid using guides built into PowerPoint is my pro tip. And I believe, Nolan, you offer that as a download on your site. Is that correct?
I do have a bunch of files that are pre-built with grids, yeah, that people can take. And my pro tip is using .zip to extract your PowerPoint file. And I just did this the other day. And the situation was I had a file that suddenly had ballooned in size, and I wasn't sure which images were so big, and I didn't want to compress everything because that's a whole other conversation. So if you take your PPTX file and you change the extension from PPTX or even PPT to .zip, it immediately becomes a zipped container that you can then double-click on the Mac. If you're on the PC, you right-click and extract. And then it will give you a whole bunch of folders. Once you dive down into the media folder, you'll see all your images, all your video, all your sound as individual files. And the reason I did that was I did that. I looked and I saw, oh, these four images were 20 megs each.
Oh yeah.
Don't know how I ended up putting those in the presentation, but I did. So then I went ahead and I downsampled the images and I reinserted them. So it's a great tool to find out what is hidden in your presentation and what is taking up space. Or if you just need to extract a video,
yes,
for example,
yes,
or extract a sound clip that somebody sent you in PowerPoint and you just need it as an MP3 file. Great.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. You can save out an image, but you can't right click and save out a video or an audio file. They're embedded. That's why. Okay. So Nolan, wait, so pro tip number two, you're going to rock your world on the Windows side. You need to download a program called 7-Zip. It's free. It's an open source thing. It's super, super reliable. When you get it, you go to your PowerPoint slot, your PowerPoint file. You know how you said change the name? Mm-hmm. You don't change the name.
Yep.
Right-click on it, and 7-Zip has its own menu, and it has Open Archive. It'll dynamically open up the zip folder right there. You don't even have to destroy the file. It'll rock your world.
Oh, yes. I should point out, if you're going to do this, or at least my method, you need to duplicate it first.
It's destructive.
Yeah.
This one.
Yes. It destroys your PowerPoint.
I'm almost positive
file.
7-Zip is not a Mac program. I could be wrong, but use that. It's awesome.
Okay, cool.
Okay, our last segment of each episode is our tech tips. Here's where we just get to talk about cool, fun things, gadgets, conferences, new processes, not necessarily presentation-based. So we're just going to dive in. Each of us have a tech tip or two. And mine is really fun and would only I work backstage. I joke about the fact that I've been in the same dark ballroom all over the world. You know, because sitting in a ballroom in Bermuda is just like sitting in a ballroom in the middle of Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's not in February. There's no difference. So I'm in a dark environment, and I have these USB lights. These are the newer ones I got. I will find the link and I'll put a picture of them. They're just not. They have the you plug it into the USB and they're on the little coily thing that's adjustable. Yeah, a little gooseneck. But these have 26 LED bulbs. They are so bright, and they have a little on-off switch, which I actually really love, because a lot of times I actually put a like a phone charger little brick into the power strip that has, it's actually a 5-port one. So I'll plug my USB lights in there so they don't even take up a port on my computer, because that's just powering it. So I can turn them off from there instead of like removing them. But these ones are awesome. I got them off of eBay or Amazon, and I'm sure they were like all of $9 each, but they are the coolest thing. And just, you know, it's funny when you go to these, you're sitting in a backstage ballroom, you're surrounded by, you know, over $1 million worth of equipment, and people go, that is awesome. And, you know, I could do the same thing. I go over to somebody else and go, where did you get that? That's really cool. You know, so we're oohing and aahing over $9 LED lights. One of the other guys had one that was touch sensitive. You touch the end of it, and it dims as long as you touch till it goes out, and then it starts going back up. I thought that was pretty cool, but I liked mine better for the amount of light.
Well, my tech tip is the Air Mouse. And here's, and I'll explain what it is in just a moment.
Is that like air guitar?
Air guitar, exactly.
I don't know what this is.
Okay, well, you create interactive presentations. I create interactive presentations. I call it, in a presentation that I give, navigating your PowerPoint presentation like a website. You click a button, you go to someplace in the presentation. It allows you to have a lot of control over how you navigate your presentation. Well, usually you're stuck then. As you know, when you click on a button in a PowerPoint presentation, you usually have to have a mouse and you have to click on it. Your standard remote for giving, what's it called? Clicker. You know, the clicker for giving presentations does not allow you to click on a button on your slide. So the Air Mouse does that. It allows you to navigate your PowerPoint presentation. Say you have a menu of 6 different places you might want to go in your presentation. The Air Mouse allows you to click on those buttons.
So is it a physical mouse?
It is.
Or is it a software thing? I'm not sure I get it.
No, it's a physical mouse. Think about a clicker. It's like a clicker, but it's called an Air Mouse.
Okay.
And that's a generic term you're using. There are a few of them.
Well,
there,
Air Mouse, good point. Thank you for clarifying. Air Mouse could be a generic term, but the one I'm referencing is made by a company called Gyration.
Okay, I've seen that one.
Yep, exactly. And it just helps you navigate your presentation more professionally as a professional presenter versus hiding behind a laptop on the stage. You get to navigate the stage just like any professional presenter. So I guess it's a great tool, tech tool, for a professional presenter, or a tech tool that makes a presenter look more professional.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, I'll jump off on that. I've seen the Air Mouses. I've never used them myself, but the piece of hardware, since that's what we're talking about now, that I use all the time is my favorite clicker handheld remote, which is the Logitech Presenter 400. If you go to Amazon, you know, there are tons out there, but this is the one that I've just used year after year after year. It has a great form factor. It's ergonomic. It's small. There's an 800 version that has like a longer range, but I just stick with the 400. I lose them. I buy them more. I've probably bought dozens over the years, give them to people. So that's my clicker of choice, the Logitech Presenter 400. It's like 30, 40 bucks at Amazon.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a design studio team focused on presentation design. Check us out at www.tlccreative.com, my blog, now in its 8th year. Pretty excited about that it's been going, thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog at presentyourstory.com. Subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. I won't spam you too often with newsletters, promise. If your organization is interested in on-site presentation or data viz training, drop me a line or go to nolanhamescreative.com.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website at presentationwiz.biz and my blog at pptwizblog. Or just search for Sandra Johnson PowerPoint in your web browser and learn all kinds of things about me.
For today's episode, show notes, links, and more, visit us at our website,
thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website. If you like us, rate us and leave us a review on iTunes. It's always appreciated. You could contact us with show suggestions, questions for the host, or leave a comment at our podcast website. Look for new episodes every first and third Tuesday of each month.